This morning's podcast is being put out a little bit later than normal. I discovered last night the sad news that we all learned of the Queen's passing. So therefore, I am adding in this section to the podcast today to send my condolences to the royal family, who I'm sure are listening, of course, but also to just recognise that our Queen has passed away, and we obviously wish her and her family all the very best, and God save the King. Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name's Wendy, and this podcast will help you invest in houses of multiple occupation. This week's episode, I am interviewing Emma Hayes from Platinum Property Partners, and I'm absolutely delighted to have Emma on board today. This is episode 65 of the HMO Success Podcast. Emma brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to her role as Managing Director of Platinum Property Partners. She's been in the property industry for over a decade, and over that time, she's obviously witnessed a huge amount of change. But now, as the Head of Franchisee Operations for Platinum, she's got a fantastic purview of the market, of her franchisee operations, and she brings tenacity, grit, determination, and creativity to the role. So this morning, I'd like to welcome Emma to the podcast. Good morning, Emma.
Thank you, Wendy. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you on board. I'd like to start by asking you about the current HMO market. What do you think is going on currently in the climate of HMOs here today?
Yes, yeah, it's funny, actually. I think a few weeks ago, probably more than that, actually, about a month or so ago, there was a lot of talk about, what's going to happen to the HMO model, all bills inclusive, when the energy price rise sort of really kicks in. What we've seen sort of since then, actually, is the demand is just through the roof. Some of our partners have got waiting lists for rooms, just where tenants are just looking for quality accommodations at any cost, actually. So because demand is so high, and landlords are facing this sort of significant increase in costs, we are seeing rents are jumping up significantly, actually. So from a landlord point of view, from a HMO landlord point of view, things are good. Demand is strong. I'm speaking to people at the moment that are like, actually, if one of my long-standing tenants does choose to move on, that's actually quite good for me, because I'm able to sort of bring the rents up in line with sort of the new market rate. So that's a really positive thing. Demand is high, and rent, there's definitely sort of an increase in this sort of ceiling on what's payable from a tenant perspective. Obviously, as a country, the increase in cost is a big cause for concern from a bigger picture perspective. But actually, HMO landlords, if it wasn't sort of that there was a burning platform behind us, actually everything would be great, because demand is high. Tenants are staying for a really long time as well. So actually turnover is really low, certainly that we're seeing that in the Platinum network anyway. And rents are going up. So actually, are landlords sort of worried about the energy price rise like they were a few months ago? Not so much. Obviously, it will vary depending on where properties are based. Different regions, I'm sure, will be different. But actually, as a whole, across the Platinum network, things are really good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, Emma. I think that's what I'm seeing is huge demand. I wonder whether people are looking to, clarify what their monthly outgoings are every month. So moving into an HMO where it's an all-inclusive rent,
absolutely,
for them, it actually makes sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Even if the rent is sort of a bit higher than perhaps what they'd be sort of happier to pay, a few months ago, that certainty every month, I think, especially when we're potentially facing sort of regular increases in the energy bills, that is, massive value to people, actually, just not having the stress of not knowing what the bill is going to be like sort of in a few months' time. It's again, as always, showing its resilience actually to market shifts.
Do you think landlords will change or evolve the model with HMOs? A standard kind of professional let model has been all inclusive rents with bills, etc. Do you think that's going to change at all?
It's really funny, actually. We spoke about this last week, and I would say my honest opinion at the moment, no. The expectation is that the HMO model is all bills inclusive, and that's a definitely, even much more now than ever before, a massive attraction for the model. And I know a lot of our partners are quite protective over that. They want to give that certainty to their tenants. They don't want their tenants to be worried and anxious about sort of bills and all that sort of that. Our landlords see that very much as a selling sort of point of what they're able to offer. However, since our conversation last week, actually, we've been talking about sort of energy usage and actually the bigger picture from a climate point of view. Certainly as a homeowner, I am being much more conscious of how I sort of operate our own house, how full is the tumble dryer, how many times we're boiling the kettle every day. And from a climate perspective, energy consumption, I guess the all-inclusive bills sort of model doesn't really address that as an issue. So at the moment, I do not see there being any change from the HMO model sort of structure. However, sort of long-term, I can absolutely see there being potential scope for new technology was developed so that we could sort of tackle that energy consumption, energy usage in the HMO space, and potentially tenants are contributing towards usage. I can definitely see there being room for something like that in the future, but absolutely not now.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I think maybe there are some HMO landlords I know who already do that. They have separate meters for their individual rooms. Obviously, the communal space is still managed and paid for by the landlord, but the individual rooms, the heating and so on, is paid by the tenant. But yeah, we'll see. I suppose time will tell whether this is just a kind of blip in the energy market because of the Ukraine war, and actually also because we haven't yet really brought online alternative sources of energy. We've kind of gone very quickly at shutting down some of the carbon creating energy plants, but kind of not thought, oh, what's going to replace it?
This is like a massive sort of financial worry at the moment. Everybody's like, oh, the cost is going up, so actually we're going to batten down the hatches. Obviously, as you say, things may change. I personally have probably come to the conclusion that I think actually this might be the start of thinking differently with regards to household energy consumption. I know solar panels, sort of the acquisition of those has sort of gone through the roof over the last couple of months as people are sort of preparing for the future, that's all fantastic. So it'd be great for this sort of whole situation to ultimately stabilise. But will it challenge us in the future to think differently about our household energy consumption? I think it will actually. And I think will our platinum model sort of change right now? No, I don't think so. We definitely want to always provide that sort of really premium service to our tenants. But actually, will that be sort of questioned or adapted moving forwards? Yeah, I do think it could be. But
interesting. Something you touched on just very briefly there was something that I think about and I talk to some of my clients about. The North-South divide. Now, this is obviously a phrase that we've kind of come to hear over the last, I don't know, 50 or 60 years. Whether there is a North-South divide in terms of housing, in terms of opportunity. And part of the government's levelling up agenda is, of course, trying to, normalise what they have in the South, up in the North, in terms of public transport, infrastructure and so on. When it comes to HMOs, do you think there's a North-South divide?
I definitely think there's differences between the North and the South, key sort of financial differences. Property is typically more expensive down South. Appreciation is typically more aggressive in the South, and rents are generally a bit higher. But there's, a big believer in, we've got a really healthy sort of southern region in the Platinum Network, but the Midlands and North really does challenge that actually from time to time. And I think it all personally depends on the individual investor. Ultimately, we have a shortage of housing across the entire UK. There's commerce all over the UK. We don't have dead zones. So for us, when we've got new clients coming through, it's very much a case of working on what their personal strategy is, what resources they have, and where can that best be sort of deployed. From a returns point of view, we always go on return on investment, and whether you're in the North or the South, We're always looking for an absolute minimum of 10% really from on a property by property basis. So although costs do vary, we do very much focus on that ROI figure.
I think that's really interesting because I would agree with you that I think that the ROI is the key figure to be looking at, or the return on capital employed. And yeah. Ultimately, mod properties might be a bit cheaper to buy in the north than they are in the south. So therefore, if you're an investor starting off, you might be tempted by, you know, northern property prices because they're definitely more affordable. The rents are a little bit lower as well. So commensurately, you're going to get a slightly lower rent. But of course, that means that the returns are fairly comparable north, south.
Absolutely. And I guess, as I said before, I think one of the main things to consider, I think it's very easy to get sort of attracted to the northern property prices. And as you say, if you're starting out with a smaller sort of pot to invest, then that might be the right strategy for you. We always sort of caveat that as an idea with, you know, the fact that you need to build in sort of greater costs for management, occupancy. And certainly in our network, we do encourage our partners, whether it's themselves sort of personally or sort of a member of their team, to do regular checks on their properties. And, you know, ultimately, whether you're a hands-off investor or sort of quite hands-on, these are sort of expensive assets that you're acquiring. Our partners go through quite sort of significant sort of conversions. We want to make sure that they're well looked after. So being within a reasonable driving distance, we generally do recommend that. But, you know, it does vary person to person, as you say.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Thinking about 2023 and maybe beyond, do you think the HMO market is going to be as strong next year? Do you think that there's going to be growth? Do you think people are going to sell up because of the rising costs and possibly interest rates as well? What do you see as the outlook?
Oh, well, I think whilst demand is as high as it is, and I can't see that going anywhere anytime soon, you know, when I started working for Platinum about 9 years ago, very much sort of the typical demographic of people that we'd be renting to would be people in their sort of early 20s to early 30s. As young working people, that has absolutely sort of really, really grown since the time that I've been in business. And we're now seeing tenants of all ages, of all walks of life, really valuing this type of accommodation. So whilst there's demand for it, I can't see that the model going anywhere, to be honest. Whether investors choose to dip out of the market or get into HMOs, I think when there's demand for something, there's always going to be an attraction. You know, the returns are still high. Rents will, we're going through a bit of a steep, sort of not market correction, but market shift, I guess, as rents are increasing to keep up with the rising costs. Once that's stabilised, and I think, you know, when there are these market shifts, it always causes a bit of anxiety. I spoke to somebody yesterday. She was like, I'm really attracted to the HMO model, but I'm just sitting and doing nothing right now because I don't know what's going on. From a Platinum point of view, we always talk long term when it comes to property. We don't do flips. We don't do development. We're all about low risk, long term income. And actually, when you start pushing your projections out beyond 1, 2, 3 years and looking sort of over the course of a whole decade, actually, it's a no brainer as far as we're concerned. So, you know, whilst there is a general shortage of housing supply, there's high demand for this type of sort of accommodation, and we can't see that going anywhere based on the way that people are sort of more and more choosing to work and live. And we think the HMO model is just going to go from strength to strength. Will it adapt and be innovated over time? Absolutely. I hope so. I think it's great to see, you know, I think back how our HMOs in our Platinum network have changed over the last 9 years. I'm sure there'll be just as much change over the next sort of 9, 10 years and beyond. But should investors be worried and sort of exiting the market? We're not seeing that in our Platinum network. We're literally just sort of running our numbers and making sure that we're sort of safeguarding our businesses by sort of assessing rents, assessing costs, and sort of taking the right action. I'm sure that there are landlords outside of Platinum that perhaps on their own, sort of operating independently, that are feeling like, actually, maybe enough's enough. There's so much change in the market all of the time. If you're not supported by the right sort of community and the right sort of knowledge, then it might feel daunting. But, you know, I know there is a lot of talk at the moment of landlords sort of exiting the PRS. That I think is a massive shame if that is the case. And I think that's actually probably a bit of a failing on our government. You know, we do need a really healthy, really active private rented sector of loads of different types of rental accommodation. So
I couldn't agree with you more, Emma. Absolutely. Yeah, totally with you. And in fact, I'd like to move on to a bit more of the sort of political bit, to really talk about regulation, the new right to rent legislation coming through, other regulations. I mean, for example, EPCs, we don't know whether those are going to change or not. The regulation that it hasn't gone through yet, hasn't been, you know, made into an actual act of government, act of parliament, but it's kind of out there. People are worried about that. Could you say something about what you see the future of HMOs to be under that kind of umbrella of constantly changing, frustratingly, regulation and legislation?
Yeah, I think as with sort of all industries, you know, you either self-regulate or you get regulated. And I think some of the regulation that we've seen over the last 9 years has in principle been a good move. At Platinum, we're all for improving the standards and the quality within the PRS. The media is full of, unfortunately, examples of those minority landlords that kind of ruin it for all the good success stories where, you know, standards aren't what they should be from a tenant perspective. As I mentioned earlier, I think even since I've been working at Platinum, the market has developed and sort of matured fantastically in that sort of even just a 9 year period, where I think HMOs used to be seen as kind of grotty student digs, actually. And, you know, oh God, you don't want to be a HMO landlord, or oh, you don't want to have to rent from, you don't want to have to live in an HMO. That is a really out of date stereotype, I think, for this type of accommodation now. And actually, tenants are demanding better quality. I think they're more aware of their rights. That, you know, they do expect good quality, good standards, and actually kind of some like nice stuff. So I think the market has moved on significantly, which I think your point that we discussed last week is actually, therefore, can governments sort of lay off trying to over-regulate the industry? Absolutely. A lot of the regulation that we see coming out, some of it I think in principle is great. I love the idea of, you know, HMOs being licensed and everybody sort of saying, yes, I do comply with these standards. My properties are safe. Equally, a lot of the legislation that's come out has been really ill-informed and has tried to take, we see a lot of these sort of this blanket approach to the PRS, just this rule is going to apply to all properties, all landlords and all tenants. And that's a really outdated way of viewing the sector. It's much more diverse than it used to be. You know, the Renters Reform Bill, as an example, is absolutely not fit for purpose when it comes to HMOs. Mm-hmm. But there's no consideration for HMOs in that sort of proposal. So I believe that, and the response to some of these sort of this rapid sort of introduction of new rules and new proposals and new ideas, I definitely feel like the landlord community is coming together and working together more than ever before. So I actually believe that we'll get to a place where politically we see the PRS as an essential sort of service to our country and to renters across the board. Hopefully we'll see less sort of interference from a regulatory perspective, but generally the market will drive high standards. And that's where I'd like to see us getting to as a country anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's very, very true. And I think you're right that the wider the market is, the bigger the market is, the more investors that we have, the better for the tenants, because they've got more choice. This is, of course, the problem we've got with energy companies at the moment is we haven't got much choice. So therefore, energy companies are able to charge what they're able to charge, A, because there's huge demand on their services and their products, but also because there's only a few of them actually doing the drilling and the digging and the extraction. If we had, you know, 100 energy companies, in fact, I'm sure there are more than 100 across the world that are doing this. But, you know, if we had thousands of energy companies doing this, a small company doing this over here, a small company doing, we would have more choice as consumers. And it's, of course, not the secondary providers of the energy who are making the big profits. It's those who are actually, excuse the pun, on the coal face. Except, of course, they're not actually on the coal face because we don't really dig for coal anymore. But anyway, you know what I mean?
So yeah, absolutely.
I think that's very, very true that, you know, we need high standards. We want high standards. We love to, I think we have this heart to provide good accommodation for tenants that is well managed, well run, where they enjoy living. And as you said earlier, Emma, one of the outflows of that is high occupancy rates for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's happy.
Absolutely. And I think the more, I do believe I was really sort of annoyed actually about the renters reform bill as an example, just the language that is used when talking about tenants and landlords. I personally feel like that's totally sort of outdated. I think as the PRS becomes to be sort of more respected and sort of property owners and housemates or renters and investors sort of are almost sort of recreated sort of from that sort of perception perspective, I think we'll see some really positive change. And people were, you know, there's so much distrust, I think, in the industry that, you know, reading that proposal, the renters reform bill, I can really see like where that comes from. But actually there is high demand. So high demand drives high standards. And as you say, the more competition, the better, the more sort of opportunity, the better. And actually that will encourage more people to be good quality investors. If we can change our attitude towards property owners or landlords and see them as sort of legitimate business owners as any other sort of business, put the right support in place to help standards improve, I think that would be a much more positive way of sort of welcoming and embracing the industry as opposed to trying to like demonise it. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely agree with your points.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. So in terms of the kind of stability versus growth in the market, are you seeing more investors kind of wanting to come into the market? You mentioned a lady who's nervous at the moment. Is she sitting on the fence? Are you seeing more people taking longer to decide? Are there fears out there about house price growth, for example, as being a barrier to investing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, people are worried about, oh, what if there is a market correction and house prices drop? What if interest rates go up? All of these questions, and you know, we've always had this. There's always been an element of uncertainty. I think everything that's going on at the moment, it feels like those sort of turbulent times are becoming much more frequent. But from a Platinum point of view, we're always sort of working with our sort of prospective joiners, essentially, to think way beyond sort of what's happening in the immediate market. And actually, when you look at all of the history within the sort of the property market, not just the rented sector, but actually property prices, property appreciation, rent appreciation. There's a really, really, really strong track record that, again, if you project out into the next 10, 20 years, we can't see that going anywhere. So I think there's definitely sort of an education piece to sort of get people over the sort of worry of the immediate now and tomorrow, which I think is the case with everything. That will be not just impacting the housing sector. I think any sort of big financial commitment, people will be worried about. But we're sort of, yeah, more than geared up to sort of coaching people through that decision-making process. And, you know, the figures are there. It's not sort of just a gut feeling. We've got loads and loads and loads of data now on sort of performance of our Platinum portfolio, but also of the sort of wider housing market that, it is, yeah, just really strong through pandemics, financial crashes, big tax changes, whatever it is. The market has stayed strong consistently.
And I think that's a really good testimony, actually, both to the resilience of the HMO market itself, but also to Platinum Property Partners that, you know, as you say, you have weathered many, many storms over the last however long you've been going.
15 years.
Amazing. Okay. And you've been there 9 years.
Yeah. No, I haven't done, I wasn't there right at the beginning, unfortunately. But yeah, the network, some of our partners have been with us for the full 15 years. And they've seen some, you know, incredible sort of changes sort of economically from a market point of view. And obviously that HMO sort of evolution, the way that the model has changed. And you know, one of our longest standing partners, Mike Dixon, who if anyone's like listening into this will probably know Mike's a bit of a legend, certainly within the community.
Mike's been great.
He's superb. He would always say there's always ups and downs. You just got to think long term. It works. So stay calm and carry on is kind of the attitude.
Well, one of the things, Emma, that I've been really also very pleased with from a Platinum point of view, you know, has been your help and support for our campaign. to eliminate council tax banding on HMO rooms. And I'm sure anyone listening today will have heard me go on about this more than enough. I won't speak about it anymore today, I promise. My lips are sealed. But I did want to just say, you know, publicly how much, as a reform group, we really appreciated Platinum getting involved. And you invited us to speak at your annual conference this year, which was great. We met some really great partners, great franchisees there, which was amazing to be able to educate people about what's happening right here and now. And I know that you've been, you know, on the forefront of helping us to kind of spread the word about what's happening. There's probably in your network a few people who've been affected and many who haven't been affected. But as you said earlier, it's about being educated and recognising what to do if this did happen to you. And it's been great that Platinum have been kind of on the forefront of that. And actually, Mike has been one of those who's been really helpful to us in that regard. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I think, you know, it's really positive sort of seeing sort of people like yourself that are super well educated, super passionate as well about justice and things being fair. And as soon as we sort of found out about what you were doing however long ago, we were like, absolutely, of course we need to support. It's not fair what's going on, or it is that uncertainty and inconsistency. And the out of date the legislation is, it's all completely rubbish. And the fact that you're sort of taking this on to try and correct it and change it and improve it is fantastic. So absolutely, you have Platinum's full support for that.
Fantastic. Just one final question, Emma. One of the things that I, you know, have obviously seen with Platinum as an observer over the last few years is the strength of the brand. Now, for somebody who maybe isn't working with yourself at the moment, or who, is maybe an HMO investor and they're doing their own thing, and there are many of them like that, how important do you think it is to have your own brand when you are running a portfolio of HMOs?
Yeah, so Platinum's unusual, actually, in this sense. So many of our partners have got their own brands. We find that some partners get really passionate about having sort of, you know, the colours, the logo, the website and all of those things. Really what we find is that actually when you distill all of that, the main thing that seems to be most important from certainly within the Platinum community is sort of brand values. Our partners are really passionate about the way they run their portfolios. And regardless of, you know, they often come up with, little taglines and logos, and they all look fantastic, actually. The brand designs are lovely, but it's what those brands represent to each of our partners. And it really boils down to the level of service that they really strive to deliver for their housemates. And that, I think, we're super proud of. Platinum Property Partners isn't really a tenant-facing brand. We do like it to sort of be a bit of a stamp of quality. You know, all of our HMOs in our network, we would absolutely expect to be of an excellent standard. But we've got some phenomenal brands in our community. But more importantly, it is that expectation from a landlord point of view of how they handle their housemates. And that manifests in some really brilliant ways. Some of our partners, we do pizza nights for tenants. There's so much care, and that really came out actually during lockdown. And I'll tell you what, if ever I write a book, or if ever Platinum write a book, there's going to be a whole chapter on this. Some of our partners were hosting, you know, we and this was, some of it was done through Platinum, but a lot of it was actually managed and facilitated by our existing landlords. They were doing sort of mindfulness sessions for tenants if houses were sort of suffering from sort of anxiety over what was going on. There was mindfulness sessions, there was virtual yoga that tenants could dial into. Our partners were dropping off sort of cleaning supplies if cleaners weren't able to visit the properties. They were doing literally everything that they could possibly think of to try and sort of keep morale high, safeguard their tenants, and make sure that they had all of the right communication they needed to understand what was going on. I thought that was absolutely fantastic, actually. And I think it's probably been since then, even more so than normal, that I've really sort of been quite serious about how fantastic the PRS can be and how important it is from a country's perspective. If you get it right, we've got some phenomenal houses in our groups and brilliant sort of communities of tenants that really look after each other. and sort of business owners that are really proud of what they've created, the sort of safe quality homes that are sort of accessible to such a huge portion of our population. So whether it's pizza nights, dropping Easter eggs off at Easter and or Christmas trees at Christmas, whatever it is, I think there's a whole sort of service element that's not talked about at all, actually, in the media. Mm. But it is, it's absolutely there. And makes like the whole
it adds value. And actually that, as you say, is the core of the brand. Whatever you might say on your logo or your website, actually the core is, what do you do? And if you serve your tenants and you look after the property and you provide safe, healthy, lovely accommodation, that speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's why I think, you know, our occupancy is so high. And, you know, once somebody's rented a platinum HMO, they love to stay within the community, even if they have to relocate for work or things like that. We find that once you've rented from a platinum landlord, housemates, they love it. And I think that's all to do with the values within the community and how those houses are operated, brand or no brand, really.
Right. Well, listen, Emma, it's been inspiring to listen to you. Full of energy, full of focus, which I absolutely love. Great to hear your take on the market and your experience and your purview of many HMOs, of course, brings your information to the market in a very valuable way, because you're not just talking about five HMOs. There's a much bigger portfolio there that you're overseeing. Well, not overseeing, but you're kind of responsible for helping people develop, which is tremendous. So
thank you very much.
So thank you ever so much for joining me today. It's been wonderful to interview you, and I will put your contact details in the podcast notes, so that if anybody wants to contact you or contact Platinum, they can do that. They might want to get in touch with you.
Brilliant.
And thank you very, very much indeed for being a guest today. It's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Thank you very much, Wendy.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.